Wow. I've got 5 minutes to get 45-minute sermon in. It's going to work real well. I don't think that's going to happen. So what I'll do this afternoon is I'll just give you a brief introduction to chapter 9 of Daniel's gospel, or Daniel's prophecy. So you want to turn with me to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll just have a brief introduction to this particular chapter. This is the first time that Daniel prophesies specifically about what is referred to as the 70 weeks of Daniel. It's 490 years, it's 70 weeks of 7 years. If you take 70 times 7, you get 490, it's 490 years. In looking at the background, I'll read Daniel chapter 9, and we don't even have time to really get into Daniel's prayer, because that's going to take more than 5 minutes. But I'll just read the first couple verses. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And so I just want you to see that this opens up with Daniel being in God's word, and Jeremiah had recorded his word, and Daniel, this would be about 67 years after Jeremiah had recorded this prophecy, that after 70 years, the nation of Israel would be brought back into the land. Daniel believes this. The next few verses, which we'll have to get into next week because there's just not enough time, we have the prayer of Daniel. And want to take time to look at that and study it, because it's really a prayer that each of us should have for our nation today. But as Daniel is looking at this, I want you to see that God, Daniel, number one, believes what God says. When God says something's going to happen, Daniel believes it's going to happen. And he said that 70 years, well, it's 67 or 68 years, somewhere in there. So it's only a couple more years, and it's going to be time for Israel to go back. And there's really no signs of it happening. But yet Daniel knows the Lord has said it, so it's going to happen. So the first thing that Daniel does is he begins to pray. Now, the Lord, in just a kind of an overview of this chapter, remember in the previous chapter, we looked at the beasts that were seen by Daniel, and it was again another vision relating to the coming kingdoms that would come after the time that he was with Babylon, and then after that the Medes and the Persians, that there would be the Greeks and the Romans, and that they'd come. But it showed something beyond that, because prior to that, in the previous visions where he'd seen those kingdoms, there hadn't been the great detail beyond the Roman Empire, and all of a sudden in this last vision he had this greater detail that there was going to come a little horn out of the four horns of the Greek Empire, and this little horn, as we saw, was Antiochus Epiphanes. And remember how he had persecuted the Jewish people. He'd come against the Lord, the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came against him. He stood as an arrogant person. He defiled the temple. He ridiculed and stopped the worship of the Lord. And he attempted to turn the people against God. And those that would not turn, we shared that there's things that are recorded in history that he did that aren't in the scriptures that were just disgusting. Having children killed simply because they'd been circumcised, having other people put to death because they wanted to circumcise their babies, having people put to death because they desired to continue to worship the Lord after he told them not to. All those things, and Daniel was aghast when he saw that those things were coming. And it says that he was greatly troubled by it, which you can understand. These are his people. This is his God. And this is the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and now the Lord's revealing this to him. Well, as you can imagine now, when the Lord reveals, it's not just going to stop with Atticus and Epiphanes. He's not going to be the last one. But he's a type of a one that's coming that's going to be worse. That's going to control the whole world. And Daniel is revealed to Daniel that he's thinking that 70 years, now they're going to get to go back in the land. They're going to get to rebuild the temple. It's going to be the way it was again, as it had once been. But the Lord says no. And he reveals to Daniel that there's not just 70 years, but there's 70 times 7. There's 490 years that God is going to deal with Israel. And then he begins to open up to Daniel what's going to occur during these 490 years. And during this, we're going to look into greater depth. And just as, remember, this is just an overview now. But there's going to be 62 weeks of years. During this, the first 483 years is going to be an event that occurs at the end of that. That'll be the first time that the Messiah comes. And he's going to come, and he's going to be the Messiah of Israel. But yet Daniel is looking for this Messiah, because you have to believe that Daniel believes the prophecies of God, right? Because he believes the 70 years. God had promised that a Messiah would come. Isaiah had promised one. It had been foretold of other by other prophets. The Lord had promised Adam the Messiah was coming. So Daniel's believing the Messiah coming. Now the Lord's revealing that after 483 years from this date that we'll be looking at, the Messiah is going to come, but then he's going to be cut off. And that's going to be the end of the Messiah, or it's going to appear to be. But then there's going to be another 7 years of time that God is going to deal again with Israel, but there's a space of time between the 483 years and the 490 years that have been prophesied. This last week, there's this gap of time, and Daniel isn't given all the revelation on that either. And Daniel is probably wondering, Lord, why is all of this happening? And we're going to be looking at why God is doing it, and what his purposes are in it. But I want you to understand that God is in control. That's the thing that we need to understand. If God could foretell and prophesy to Daniel specifically 70 years from this date, and at 70 years from that date, they're back in Israel, and 483 years from another date, which we'll be looking at next week, they'll be back in Israel, and the Messiah is going to enter Jerusalem to the day, and we'll be looking at that too, to the day that he was prophesied to enter, and in the manner that he was prophesied to enter. If God knows all of that over 500 years in advance, and then God tells us that the last 7 years, it is going to appear that Satan's getting the victory until God's wrath is poured out on the earth, and then the King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns. We need to be people to understand that if God delivers on all of these promises and his prophecies, he's going to deliver on that one too. And he will come, and there's going to be an end to this nonsense. Lies will stop. Heresy will end. Blasphemy will quit. And God will be exalted, and the truth will be upheld, and that which is righteous and holy will be forever. And we need to be encouraged, even as Daniel was. Daniel lived, he lived in not great times, with not great kings. But yet Daniel worshiped the Lord, trusted God, did everything he could to honor God, both in the way he conducted himself and his business, but also in the things he did to worship the Lord and unashamedly worship Christ. And as he did that, the Lord was with him, and the Lord blessed him. And so that's just a little bit of an overview. That understand that God's not going to just stop in this prophecy he gives to Daniel after the 70 years, but it's just the beginning. And the whole thing is, it's interesting that as Daniel begins to have this prophecy, the prophecy deals with two things. The prophecy deals with the people of Daniel, which it tells us, as we'll read in Daniel chapter 9, it deals with his people and his city. What are his people and his city? It's not the Medes and the Persians, nor is it the Chaldeans. Those are not his people. His people are the Jewish people. Who are the Jewish people? They're descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they are the ones that have been given the promises to be fulfilled in their lives that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is the city? The city is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city that is at the center of God's plans. It's where the Messiah would come the first time, and it's where the Messiah shall come the second time. And Satan desires to control Jerusalem. He desires to destroy Jerusalem. He desires to control the Jewish people. He desires to destroy the Jewish people. Why? If there's no Jerusalem and no Jews, guess what? Jesus isn't who he says he is, and he's not coming back. And if Jesus doesn't come back, who wins? Satan. But I want to tell you, God is on the throne. As we studied this morning, God is the one who's all-powerful. God is the one who is all-knowing. And God has already gained the victory in his first coming at the cross of Calvary, where he died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, gaining victory over sin and victory over death. Satan holds nothing over any man or woman unless they allow him to hold it over him, because they refuse to come to Jesus and get the gift of salvation that is his and receive the victory that he has gained for them. This is what we've got to look forward to as we break open chapter 9, is these 490 years. What is that all about? And how does that pertain to us today? Because the last 7 years are coming, on the end of, at the time after many of us have been raptured, after those of us who are believers have been raptured to heaven, that 7 years is coming. And the way things are looking in the world, it could be coming very soon. And so we need to be prepared, and we need to get people prepared, and we do not need to be afraid. Daniel wasn't afraid. He was overwhelmed as he saw what was going to happen. But he was not fearful. Daniel was never fearful, or he wouldn't have stood and been cast in the lion's den. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Lord, help us to, as we look at this next week and get into your word as far as the beginning of the 490 years, the prayer of Daniel, the prayer for his people, may we begin to pray as Daniel prayed. And understand that his prayer has much meaning for us today as well, for your church. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word, and thank you for just allowing us to have just a few moments to introduce this chapter of Daniel's prophecy. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to 272.